I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, welcome to Art Cop Radio. This would be show number 126. Art Cop Radio heard on the Art Cop Radio networks. Art Cop Radio found on ArtCop.com. Boy, oh boy, there's been so much happened since we talked last. Karl Rove had to bite the dust. Gonzo had to bite the dust. And then Larry Craig got caught trying to blow a guy. Oh, we're going to try to cram it all in 1 hour. Playing sick again today. Not to get into it, but last year I had a sore throat for like 45 days. Well, now I'm on like day 15, 16 of a cough. And I think I've edited out most of the coughs. If you hear one, don't panic. But a cough for bad for a few days, and then starting like 4 or 5 days into it, oh, my sides hurt so bad. I was coughing. Every time I cough, it hurts so bad. I applied some vodka to it, and that didn't help a lot. Tried some cough syrup. That didn't help. Called the doctor, had him phone in a Z-Pack, whatever that is. That made me feel better, and it made my sides quit hurting. I guess something cleared up, but I kept coughing. It's been now 10 days after that. Still coughing like a crazy man. But hey, what are you going to do? You got to go with the lungs you got, not the lungs you want. Got a big, big show. What all we got in this? The Republicans are in so much trouble, some of them have started telling the truth. Now, Pat Buchanan has always been one of my favorite Nazis because he'll look you right in the eye and say, yep, I'm a fascist bastard and I don't care who knows it. Most of them won't do that. So in that regard, I like Pat. So we're going to hear from Pat. We're going to hear a whole lot of Chris the Screamer. For some reason, I just got tired of CNN, turned over to MSGOP for a while. Got a lot of Chris, got a lot of Tucker Carlson. Got some Tucker Carlson. Let's see who else we got. You know, this Craig got arrested for trying to blow the cop in the bathroom. What is it with these Republicans? But last night they said, oh, we're going to release the tape. And I thought, ooh, that'll be a hot scoop for the radio show, which I plan to do today. Today being today, the day I'm right now. But they released that maybe 3 or 4 o'clock. By 10 o'clock last night, it had been played everywhere nonstop. So we're not going to do that. We're going to play the introduction to it and what they said afterwards. But if you want to hear the tape, click on GOP blows guy in bathroom. You'll find it real easy. Going to hear about a 1 minute report on some poker because they done fucked up with the poker. Got about 1 or 2 minutes on sports because people have been asking, Bart, when are you going to talk about Tiger Woods some more? Got a little bit on the gay rights, and as I say in the piece, I'll say it 2-3 times. Let me say it again. If you got a problem with what I said about the gays, don't call me the crazy gay basher. I hate you. Unsubscribe. Remember you. No, don't do that. Write to me or call on the Bart phone. Straighten me out. What else we got? Oh, we have the Bush saying goodbye to Gonzo. That's so sad. You might need a tissue for that. Got a little John Stewart. Got a little Kaz. Don't know if the Kaz is going to make it. So people don't like it when I talk about the Kaz, but he was on, maybe instead of playing the Kaz, I'll just tell you about it. He was on Meet the Press, and it was all, oh, kiss my ring. I am Kaz. Kiss my ring. Oh, you didn't come to Kaz, so you're nobody. And if you don't come to Kaz, you're not going to make it, because we built this Democratic winning party, not you. 10 or 12 times it said it's not about me, but he kept holding that ring out in front of Harold Ford saying, oh, kiss the ring, kiss the ring. Harold wouldn't do it. I gained a little respect for Harold Ford. But anyway, that's probably not going to make it just because we don't need a bigger war with Kaz than what we already have. So much stuff, really not going to know what's in there until the final mix goes up. So tell you what, let's think about that shot at Chinecro. You're wondering what this little noise is here. That's the cap going back on the bottle of Chinaco. Oh, but that is some tasty stuff. I'll tell you what. And one other thing we're going to do, don't usually do this. Lungs have been preoccupied for like 15 days. First time I've had a chance to in a long time. So, here we go with the big, big joke.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Yeah. Did you feel something? A little bit of a tickle in the spine? A certain lightness coming from some... Wait a minute. I think it's coming from the White House lawn.
Today I submitted my resignation as Deputy Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor effective the end of the month.
Oprah's got to give away cars to get kind of, you know. Me, I just play a stupid clip and just sit there like a dumbass. And people go crazy. Yes, Karl Rove, the mastermind behind George Bush's entire political career, stepping aside to spend more time, I can only assume, spreading rumors about his family. Let's see if the years Rove spent building the president's folksy image pay off as the president translates Rove's resignation.
Karl Rove is moving on down the road.
He done? Karl done set for a spell and thunk it over. Reckoned he was tireder than a homegrown Shia militia man on day 22 of Ramadan. Now, hold on there, George. That seems maladroit. But for those of us who never got to know Karl Rove, mostly because he refused to answer any of the public's questions, who was he?
President Bush calls him the architect.
He's been the boogeyman.
The Democrats' Moby Dick.
Karl Rove is a giant.
Brilliant.
Bush's brain.
The man with the plan.
The boy genius.
Boy wonder.
Svengali-like.
He calls him turd blossom.
Now. I know that turd blossom sounds bad. But amongst turd-related nicknames, it's... Blossom is about as good as you can do. I guess turd rainbow maybe is the only other. The turd blossom paid tribute to the man in front of the man behind the president.
I've seen a man of far-sighted courage put America on a war footing. I've seen a leader respond to an economy weakened by recession. I've seen a reformer who challenged his administration, the Congress, and the country.
Who is this man you've seen? When do we get to see him? Is this man cute? But enough about the past. Tell us about August 31st. Karl, what will you do when you leave?
At month's end, I will join those whom you meet in your travels. The ordinary Americans who tell you they're praying for you. Like them, I will ask for...
Forgiveness? You'll ask for forgiveness?
I will ask for God's continued...
Forgiveness?
For God's continued gifts of strength and...
Forgiveness? Ask for forgiveness!
Wisdom.
God, ask for forgiveness!
Report on the findings of the success of the surge. The surge success will not only include military successes and military failures, but also political successes and political failures. How the troops are configured, what the deployment looks like, will depend upon the recommendations of David Petraeus. David Petraeus... The general on the ground will be bringing his recommendations back to the Congress on or about September the 15th. This September, as Congress has required, General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker will return to Washington to provide a more comprehensive assessment.
Well, here we have it. Paul Hackett, your thoughts on what happened here. What happened to this Petraeus report? It's now morphed into what's going to be a report written by the White House, its speechwriters, under political tutelage, under the president's influence, and it's going to be apparently handed out by General Petraeus.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily think that that was unforeseeable to the extent that the legislation that was passed by Congress back in May and signed off by the president suggested as much. And, you know, from my perspective, I don't really care who delivers the message or the news. I'm more concerned with the substance of the news.
Well, where do you think we're going to learn? Whose substance will it be, though? Will it be the White House's substance or will it be the military men's substance?
I think, frankly, for the White House, it's more difficult, if not near impossible these days, for their spin, as much as it exists these days, to further hide really what is going on in Iraq on a daily basis.
So you don't expect them to gussy this thing up a bit to make it look like more of a glass half full than a glass half empty?
Well, as usual, Chris Matthews has it all wrong. It's not that we're looking at a glass that's half full and the Democrats insist that it's half empty. That's not what we have here. Today is September 1st. A year ago, September 1st, 2006, the Whitewash Commission looked at the IED explosions in Baghdad, and they said there was over 1,000, yet the Bush administration reported there was about 100. They said 93 or 104, something like that. But when Baker Whitewash looked at it, they said there was 1,000. So it's not that it's half empty or half full. Gee, it depends how you look at it. It's that the Bush administration is lying by a factor of 10. Now, that's a big difference. It's not like some say 43 and some say 45. No, some say 43, but the truth is 400. That's what we got here. We got massive lies on a gigantic Texas scale. Some bitches are lying by a factor of 10. Let's face the fact. It's a lying administration, and they're not stretching the truth. They're fabricating crap by a factor of 10.
It seems to me that both Petraeus and Gates are really putting forth a good effort to come up with a strategy, which has really been absent, in my humble opinion, for the last four and a half years since this war started.
So, I don't agree with you, but let's hear what Mark Williams says. I think that we've been promised by the president over and over and over again a report, a clean report from the general. He was basically been told, don't believe me, believe the general. Now we're told it's all going to go through a White House filter. Mark Williams, your assessment, are we going to get a Petraeus report or a Bush report?
I hope what we get is the truth from General Petraeus about every step forward on the ground being made by the military since we started this, being ruined, and two steps backwards being taken on Capitol Hill by the Democrats playing politics with this and plucking the pennies off the eyelids of the newly dead.
Whoa! Can you believe this crazy son of a bitch? Bush lies us into a war. We got almost 4,000 soldiers dead, and he says the Democrats are playing politics. We didn't lie anybody into a war. This crazy bastard drug us into the beginning of World War III just so he could steal that oil. Don't tell us about playing politics. Larry Craig tries to blow some guy in a men's room, and are we playing politics when we say that's wrong? What Bush did was wrong. He lied us into a war so he could steal that oil. Don't tell us about politics. We're the ones that want to stop the killing. Don't tell us about all the dead soldiers. You're the ones that sent them into battle on a lie.
Where do we get off having an open hearing on military details of a war we happen to be involved in at the moment?
It's called democracy. Suck on it. The secrecy and the lies is what got the 4,000 soldiers killed. It's what emptied the treasury. It's what made the entire world hate us. So yeah, enough with the secrecy. Let's put some sunlight on this crazy business and see what we actually have. But no, you're anti-sunlight. You're pro-secrecy. You love this war. You love the 4,000 dead soldiers. We don't. We want to change what we have. You think what we have is perfect. You think every day that goes by we have more terrorists. That's okay. I say no. Every day goes by we got more dead soldiers and more terrorists. Let's turn this ship around. We're going the wrong damn way.
You don't discuss those things in front of the terrorists. You let General Petraeus tell the appropriate committee chairman if they need to be told what's going on the ground. They have the fight behind the scenes. They get all bloodied and battled in the back room, in the cloak room, then come out kissy face with a united front.
The Democrats have been all kissy face for 7 years, and we're fucking tired of it. No more kissy face.
You don't sit the guy in front of the Congress, in front of a congressional panel, and look for congressional or campaign brownie points that you can use in the coming election.
Hey, asshole, the war's been going 4.5 years. The war's gone so long that elections are going by, and then here comes another election, and then here comes another election, and then here comes another election, and you're accusing us of playing politics. Well, no. How can we afford playing politics when this war's gone on so long? We've been through two elections. We're coming up to the third election. So, yeah, there's going to be a little politics involved because the elections keep coming again and again and again while soldiers are dying. What are you, nuts?
But he does need to tell us one thing very truthfully.
Oh, really? You're so pro-Bush that you're saying there's one thing he needs to be honest about, and he can lie about everything else? Do you realize what you're saying? Can you understand the words coming out of your own damn mouth?
And that is something the troops told me when I was over there, that they tell me when they come back now, and that I've heard from guys, even guys with stars on their neck, that every military advance we've made over there has been ruined one way or another by some fat mouth congressman, usually a Democrat, opening his mouth.
No, this crazy bastard, again, has it all wrong. The way you measure success in war is land taken and soldiers dead. When we landed in Normandy, we eventually took France, and then we marched eastward. So every time we took a country or a region or a city, that was an advancement. We're not taking anything in Iraq. We took it all the day we landed, but every time we take a block, we move to the next block, and the bad guys go in the block behind us. We're not making any advancements over there at all. That's 4.5 years. How many decades you want to give this? How many tens of thousands of soldiers are you ready to throw away to steal that oil? Remember what Cheney said in 1994? How many soldiers are we willing to lose to get rid of Saddam? It's not worth it. Well, you're damn right it's not worth it. Now that we got rid of Saddam, how many tens of thousands of soldiers should we throw at trying to make these hand jobs stop killing each other? It's not going to happen. They're religiously insane. They're going to fight to eat. They're religiously insane. They're going to fight each other until everybody's dead. Remember that Star Trek with the black guy and the white guy? They were going to fight each other even after their planet was destroyed. Their planet was nothing but a hulking ruin of smoke and destruction, yet they continued to fight on. That's what we have in the Middle East. They're going to fight to the death no matter what. Their grandchildren are going to fight to the death no matter what. Why are we in the middle of that? We shouldn't have gone in the first place, but this guy thinks it's a great idea.
But they've gotten so savage now, actually literally ripping people's faces off with piano wire, murdering entire families, that the Iraqis are dropping dimes on them because our military men are saying to the Iraqis, don't worry, we'll be here when you're in trouble and when you need us. Meanwhile, Nancy Botox is up there saying, oh, we're leaving, we're running, we're going to go away.
You know, Mark, that doesn't help me any.
Why do we want to make an open-end commitment to keep 2 or 3 or 4 religiously insane factions from killing each other when the reason they're doing it is because their parents did and their grandparents did and their descendants back 1,000 years did? Why do we want to get involved in the middle of that and try to protect one of the 4 or 5 sides against the other 3 or 4? And this speaker, why isn't he over there fighting? He's all for sending some 18, 19-year-old kids over there to fight the people who are ripping your face off with piano wire. Well, gee, why don't you sign up, dude? Why don't you go over there and show us how it's done?
Tengo más que mil infinitas posibilidades. Yo puedo hacer lo que quiera. Voy a tratar a ver si sale. A veces sale a la primera, pero primero trato. Tratar es papa para papá. Yo si quiero puedo más.
This morning, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez announced that he will leave the Department of Justice after 2.5 years of service to the department. Al Gonzalez is a man of integrity.
So how many lies is the president going to tell in the next 5 minutes? If I had a staff, I'd get me a little bell and I'd go ding, 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 like Randy Rose does whenever he tells a lie, because he tells so many of them. It's like trying to track down the pig boy's lies. Sometimes the pig boy can lie, seriously, 20 lies in a minute. In 1 minute, he can do 20 lies in 60 seconds because he's a fast talker and he can just do that. Well, Bush is quite a bit slower blinker, quite a bit slower talker. He's going to give you probably 15 lies here in the next few minutes. Gonzalez is not an honorable man. He's having to resign in disgrace because everybody across the spectrum agrees that he's a lying son of a bitch.
Decency and principle.
No, monkey, it's his lack of principles that caused him to resign in disgrace. Everybody knows that. Every time you say it's a bright, sunshiny day in the middle of Katrina, everybody knows you're lying. Who do you think you're fooling? I guess when he gets back to his office, Pickles and his staff say, oh, good job, Mr. President. God damn, you're good. You're smart. You're fast on your feet. And you never lie. And he's going, yeah, I am pretty good.
And I have reluctantly accepted his resignation.
Another lie. You might have been reluctant at first, and then at second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. But about the time you got to the 50th reason why he had to go, you were insisting on it. You probably called him and said, Al, gig's up. Give me a resignation because you're out of here.
With great appreciation for the service that he has provided for our country.
Actually, Gonzalez did the opposite. Gonzalez raped the Statue of Liberty at the corner of 5th and Broadway, at the corner of 5th and Broadway in New York City while everybody is watching. He just raped her to death. Then he killed her. Then he drove her out south of the Bronx and buried her in a little shallow grave underneath a bridge. That's what he did. Gonzalez was so bad, he made John Ashcroft look like a decent guy. You find me a Democrat these days that won't say, in retrospect, it looks like John Ashcroft was a decent man who respected the Constitution. Find me somebody who will disagree with that when you compare him to this crazy bastard you're having to fire now, because he brought America to the depths that they've never been before. He stood for torture. He stood for kidnapping. He stood for the destruction of the Bill of Rights. And you're telling us what a great man he was? What a great attorney general he was? Are you fucking kidding me? No wonder you're at 9% approval rating, you stupid monkey.
As attorney general and before that as White House counsel, Al Gonzalez has played a critical role in shaping our policies in the war on terror.
Well, hey, when I'm wrong, I admit it. That was not a lie. Gonzalez had a critical role in shaping our policies on the war on terror because he threw away the book. He said the Geneva Conventions were quaint and we didn't have to do that anymore. He said it was okay for us to torture anybody we kidnap, so that gave the enemy permission to torture anybody they kidnap. It's been, I guess, a couple of months now, but remember the sons of bitches in Al-Qaeda in Iraq kidnapped three of our soldiers. One of them they found all Gonzalez'd and dead the next day. The other two are just missing. Now, oh, God, I hope they're dead. I remember saying this a month or two ago. I hope those two men are dead. If not, I wouldn't even want to begin to speculate what their lives are like if every day they're submitted to one-tenth of what those boys went through or those men went through over at Abu Ghraib. If they did nothing else but cut pictures out of American Time magazine, whatever, and they just took turns. Okay, we got 45 pictures here. Every day, we're going to give you soldiers one of the 45, and it's been a couple of months now. So that's why I'm wishing those soldiers are dead, because if they're taking the brunt of the Gonzalez, Bush, Cheney bullshit decisions that torture is legal and kidnapping and rape and everything else is fun and legal and proper, if you don't like the other guy, I'd hate to think what those soldiers are going through because of Bush, Gonzalez, Cheney, and the rest of those sons of bitches.
And has worked tirelessly to make this country safer.
Well, I don't guess we can blame the entire war on Gonzalez, but nobody in the United States, even your own employees, Mr. President, will tell us that we're safer now than they were. Al-Qaeda had 25 or 30 members on 9/11, and they lost, what, 80% of them that day? And now they've got thousands or tens of thousands. We don't know. There's no chance in hell that we're better off than we were, but the Bush family is definitely billions and hundreds of billions of dollars richer by invading Iraq and stealing that oil, and they didn't care what the consequences were, because that's how Republicans are. They don't look at tomorrow. They look at right now. They see profit. They say, bingo. Why should we worry about tomorrow? Why should we worry about going to prison and shaming ourselves and our families for the rest of our lives when I got a chance to steal $1 million or $1 billion today? Why should we bother with thinking about the consequences when we see dollar signs? That's what the Republicans are about, and you and Gonzalez and that crew are the worst of it.
The Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, and other important laws bear his imprint.
They sure do, kind of like the same way that New York City has Osama's imprint on it. Is that a good thing?
Under his leadership, the Justice Department has made a priority of protecting children from internet predators.
Actually, we'd rather you catch Osama, invade the people who invaded us, stop stealing oil, give us back our civil rights, give us back the Bill of Rights, give us back the right to vote. We kind of really would rather have those things than you protecting our children from porn. You know, a parent can unplug the computer if they want to protect their children from porn. But a parent can't take one simple action and get us back our Bill of Rights and stop the war and put those hundreds of billions that you stole back into the Treasury, you bastard.
We made enforcement of civil rights laws a top priority.
Civil rights laws? We don't have any more civil rights laws because you're in charge. You packed the Supreme Court with a bunch of people who hate blacks and gays. Now you're telling us how we protected civil rights? What the hell are you talking about, you monkey?
We aggressively and successfully pursued public corruption.
Once again, no, he turned a blind eye to the real corruption and he went after, like, hookers in New Orleans and stuff. That's not idea. That's nobody's idea of public corruption. He is one of the most corrupt officials in your administration and certainly the most corrupt attorney general we've ever had. And that counts Ed Meese, too. He's more corrupt than Ed Meese, more corrupt than Ashcroft ever was. He is the corruption. He's resigning for his corruption. He's resigning because your own party says he's a corrupt little bastard. You keep lying, even when everybody knows you're lying. Why doesn't somebody explain the law of diminishing returns to you, monkey?
And effectively combated gang violence.
Once again, it's another lie. Your own FBI says that crime is up a whole lot. And why is that? Because you took assault weapons and you said, here you guys, because you put assault weapons back on the street and you defunded Clinton's 100,000 cops. If Clinton liked it, you said it was a bad idea. Clinton liked more cops, you said more cops is a bad idea. Clinton set us up with fewer guns, you said, no, more guns is better. And so crime rises, and now you're claiming, oh, we've made great advancement on it. No, you dropped the ball like always. You fumbled, you lost the game. That's why they're taking your running back out, because he can't hold on to the ball. He's fumbled 12, 15 times so far.
As Attorney General, he played an important role in helping to confirm two fine jurist and Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito.
Yeah, but then again, it's pretty easy to score when the other team doesn't show up. You quarterback hands you the ball, and you smoke a cigarette as you walk backwards 70 yards into the end zone, and then the president screams about what a great running back you were. Well, no, actually, if the other team doesn't show up, you can hardly call the running back's achievements glorified or whatever. If the Democrats had had any balls to stand up to him, these two fascist throwbacks from the 40s wouldn't be on the court for the next 30, 40 years. The Democrats let the country down. They let down, hell, their families, their political party. They left out. They let down the blacks, the gays, the poor, the sick, the old. Everybody who needed a hand up got kicked in the teeth by the Democrats who refused to come to work. So, yeah, great job, Gonzo, on that one.
He did an outstanding job as White House counsel, identifying and recommending the best nominees to fill critically important federal court vacancies.
Well, in truth, all he did is look at the list of qualified Bushy loyalists and then just pick a name at random. And when he's given to you, you said, are they on the list? And he said, uh-huh. And you said, okay, well, then we'll go with them. That's how Harriet Myers got on there. That's how idiots like Brownie got put in charge. That's how idiots like that Chertoff got put in charge. And then when the hurricane hit New Orleans, he said, that's okay, Mr. President. It's all taken care of. Don't worry your pretty little head about it.
Alberto Gonzalez's tenure as Attorney General and White House counsel is only part of a long history of distinguished public service.
Hey, George, I got a job for you, and it might be kind of difficult, but I think you can do it. I want you to look down at your feet. Do you see where your feet are, George, on the ground? Okay, now you see about a foot in front of your feet. You see that little wooden thing? Called a podium. And what are you doing at the podium today, George? You're saying goodbye to a man who had to resign in disgrace. So quit telling us that it's raining when we know all you're doing is peeing on people.
When I became governor of Texas in 1995, I recruited him from one of Texas's most prestigious law firms to be my general counsel.
Now, why would anybody hire that crooked little prick except because you're being such an important guy in Texas, you recommended him? Who would hire that idiot with no morals? Who would hire that guy for you to come along and say, oh, I'd like to hire him to come onto my team? Because the only thing he's ever accomplished in his life was impressing George Bush. Same for Harriet Myers, same for all these cronies that Bush put into power. People like Condoleezza Rice and Wolfowitz, and, you know, all those monkeys, all those idiots who screwed up everything they touched. All they've ever done in their lives was swear their loyalty to Bush, kiss his ring. And that's how they got their important jobs. When they talk about how accomplished all these people are, well, yeah, they were all appointed to their jobs like Clarence Slappy Thomas. It's no accomplishment to be appointed as a crony by a crooked boss.
He went on to become Texas's 100th Secretary of State, and to serve on our state's Supreme Court.
And in both cases, he was an unqualified crony appointed by you because he was loyal to you. He would rule whichever way you asked him to rule. That's how he got his job.
These various positions have required sacrifice from Al, his wife Becky, and I thank them for their service to the country.
Yeah, it was a real sacrifice for this small-time crook to be appointed attorney general by the most crooked president in American history. Oh, the sacrifices he had to make.
After months of unfair treatment.
Yeah, that's the same thing that, well, look at your watch, former Senator Larry Craig's been saying. Oh, it's so unfair when I tried to blow a cop in a bathroom that he arrested me. Oh, it's so unfair. The poor BFEE, always the victim, with their hundreds of millions of dollars of stolen money in the bank. Always the victim. Ain't it sad? Aw.
Judge Gonzalez decided to resign his position.
Actually, he was forced out by the Republican Party. The Democrats don't have the balls to push anybody out of your cabinet, Mr. President. Gonzalez had to leave because Arlen Specter said he couldn't think of a question he could ask Gonzalez and get a truthful answer. That's why he had to leave. Don't blame this on politics. Your own party knows what a crooked bastard he is. Your party is one that made him leave. Don't pin this on us. We don't have the courage to fight.
And I accept his decision.
Well, Monkey, I'm not sure you had a choice, because Gonzalez was so incompetent, he was such a lightning rod for criticisms from all around, that your administration can't get anything done with him there, because that's all anybody wants to talk about is how totally crooked you and your attorney general are. You were stuck, and you figured a way out of this. Now, if you could figure a way out of Iraq, you might end up with just an F-minus for presidency.
It's sad that we live in a time when a talented and honorable person.
Wait, who are you talking about now? I thought this was Gonzalez's going away party. Now you're talking about some good and talented man? Who are you talking about?
Like Alberto Gonzalez is impeding from doing important work.
Well, first of all, he wasn't impeding. He was impeded from doing work, and it wasn't important work. Torture and screwing up the laws and tearing up the Constitution, peeing on the Bill of Rights, that's not important work. That's what thugs do. That's what crooked men do when they get a lot of power. They steal from the poor and the old and the sick because they're bastards.
Because his good name was dragged through the mud.
There you go again. Gonzalez didn't have a good name. Gonzalez is a nobody that you picked out of nowhere, and he came to help you in Austin. And when it came time to execute people, you said, Gonzo, is he guilty? And Gonzo said, yep. And you said, well, fry the sumbitch in. And you did that, what, 200-300 times, Mr. President? And you never even read the file, you lazy prick bastard. 200-300 men and women and grandmothers, you stole their life because you were too busy to read the damn report? You son of a bitch. And where do you get off saying Gonzalez had a good name? Show me. Where? What has he ever done besides kissed your ass and done what you told him to? Just because you bark orders at someone and they do it, that doesn't make him a great man.
For political reasons.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that, George, that Gonzalez got pushed out for political reasons because the Democrats dumped him. Keep telling yourself that. And while you're at it, why don't you tell yourself again how New Orleans is not in any trouble, that they don't need help. And why don't you tell us how Iraq is going good again. Just keep telling us all those same lies over and over. Tell us how you want to find the leaker that outed Valerie Plame. Tell us again how you're trying so hard to do that. Tell us again how you'd fire anybody that was responsible. Oh, but it turns out it was your good buddy Karl Rove, so never mind. Keep telling us, Mr. President. Keep telling yourself, too. If you tell yourself long enough Iraq was a success, you'll probably convince yourself. If you keep telling yourself that your presidency was a success, you might end up believing that, too. But nobody else will. You're a failure. You always were. Jeb knows it. Jeb was supposed to be president, not you. You leapfrog over Jeb. Jeb hates you. Your dad hates you. That's why you had to kill Saddam, to prove to your dad you're a better man than he is. Nobody likes you, George. I'm surprised Pickles is still there. I talked to Barney last week. He says he can't stand your lying ass. You can't tell the truth, and all you do is lie to yourself and lie to us. Everybody knows it. The worst president ever. That's you, George. Worst president ever.
I've asked Solicitor General Paul Clement to serve as acting attorney general.
No doubt another unqualified Bush crony. He may be a talentless hack bastard, but he's loyal to you, so he's the right man for the job.
And until a nominee has been confirmed by the Senate.
No doubt another untalented, crooked, hack bastard appointed on conditions of loyalty only. He's not good for the job, but he's your boy, so he gets the job. And the Democrats are going to stand there and say, hey, whoever the president wants, I think he should get it. If he wants John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer to be on his cabinet, hey, President should get who he wants. We're just here to serve.
Paul is one of the finest lawyers in America.
Mr. President, would you say he's as qualified as old Harriet Myers, who you said was the most qualified person in the entire country to be on the Supreme Court? And even Ann Coulter said, what an idiot. What's wrong with our stupid, brainless president? Are you kidding? No way, it's not going to happen. She's an idiot, hack, piece of crap. She's your gardener. She's your personal maid. She changes your diapers. That doesn't put her on the Supreme Court. That's what your own party said. That's what your own crazy bastard said about you, George. Is this guy as good as Harriet?
This is The Love Zone.
Democrats are sighing, heaving a big sigh of relief. Senator Leahy, the chairman of the Justice Judiciary Committee here, says that Alberto Gonzalez subverted justice. Senator Edward Kennedy said he presided over one disastrous policy after another. Here's what Senator Chuck Schumer had to say on news of Gonzalez's resignation.
Under this attorney general, sadly, the Department of Justice had less credibility than even FEMA. Under Alberto Gonzalez, the Department of Justice was a sinking ship. The president now has an opportunity to right the ship and chart a new course.
Well, there was controversy surrounding Alberto Gonzalez from the moment he became White House counsel. A memo he wrote that apparently authorized torture in certain circumstances.
This is my good friend Jeffrey Toobin, and he's being so careful, saying Gonzalez authorized torture in certain circumstances. Yeah, if some 19-year-old from Omaha thought he wanted to. That's a special circumstance, right? Who do you think were doing the interrogations at Abu Ghraib? Do you think it was some professional interrogator? No, it was anyone that was standing there. They had orders from their superiors, soften these sons of bitches up. We're coming back tomorrow to grill them, and they better be soft when we get back tomorrow. Whatever you have to do. It's like, well, okay, I'll take a dump and rub his face in it and then take his pants off and make his buddy rape him. That'll soften him up a little bit. But Jeffrey Toobin thinks, oh, in some circumstances. I guess Jeffrey Toobin would also tell you that Bush is only listening to certain phone calls with known bad guys, with terrorist links. Yeah, that's all he's listening to, right. That's why he doesn't want to go to FISA and write down who he's been spying on, because it's just a terrorist. Way to go, Jeffrey. Boy, you're a brave guy. You know that?
But the real factor that threw Gonzalez out of this job was his role in the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys, which to this day remains unexplained. Who ordered their firing? Who approved their firing? Gonzalez testified in a notorious hearing in April that he knew nothing about it. That's where he lost the support, most importantly, of the Republicans on Capitol Hill. His frankly clueless performance on that day was the day that he lost the core that any administration official needs, which is his own team. And that made today a foregone conclusion. What happened was 8 or 9, again, that's somewhat in dispute, U.S. attorneys were fired early in the second Bush administration. And that's a very unusual thing. I mean, yes, these are presidential appointees, but they are usually left to serve out their terms.
And the lying bastard Republicans, well, I repeat myself, but they kept saying, all he did was fire him. Clinton fired him too. Completely missing the point, and they knew when they said that lie, that they were completely missing the point. When you're not able to address the point that's in front of you, if you have to lie to answer the guy's question, that means you couldn't answer the guy's question as stated honestly, because it would make you look stupid or prove that you're a liar or whatever. But whenever you have to dodge the question, well, that just proves that you're guilty if you can't answer the question head on, like everybody should have been able to do.
So the question arose, who fired them? Why? Democrats raised the possibility that they were fired for partisan political reasons, that they were hired because they were prosecuting too many Republicans or too few Democrats. So in a climactic moment, the Attorney General came to the Senate Judiciary Committee, where he was supposed to explain why these people were fired, and he didn't have any answers. He didn't know why. These people worked for him, but he had no idea why they were fired. And the key moment in that hearing is when Republican after Republican said, this is unacceptable. This is not the way the Department of Justice should be run. In an environment where Democrats and Republicans split on virtually everything on Capitol Hill, the fact that they were united in their contempt for Alberto Gonzalez is what sealed his fate as someone who had to go. And today he went.
I think that was a pretty accurate description of why he had to leave. Yet Bush stood there and said, oh, the good man with all his principles and all his good name being dragged through the mud for partisan reasons. That was all a lie. It was all bullshit. I know it. You know it. American people know it. Bob Dole knows it. Everybody knows it, except the monkey in the White House who's still lying to himself. It is so dangerous to have an idiot in the White House completely lying to himself all the time on everything.
Well, what an extraordinary fall from grace for Alberto Gonzalez. I mean, here was a guy who arrived with President Bush in 2001 as White House counsel, universally thought to be a likely Supreme Court nominee. He was mentioned very heavily in connection with the vacancy that Sandra Day O'Connor left, but conservatives really were not happy with him, and they essentially vetoed him. He got a very good consolation prize. He got to be the Attorney General of the United States, but he was a complete and utter failure. And, you know, that's a sad thing about a man who came from very humble beginnings and had a lot of people rooting for him. To have fallen this far, this fast, is pretty extraordinary.
Labor Day weekend. Yeah. A weekend off. By the way, a word of warning about the weekend. If Senator Larry Craig invites you to a tailgate party, say no. That's not what you... I'm sure you heard that was the big story this week. Senator Larry Craig of Idaho was busted in a men's room at the Minneapolis airport. Apparently this men's room is famous for gay activity. If you go online at gay websites, which I have done for research, you find this. Wow, if I knew this where the action was, I would not have wasted that whole layover cruising the Cinnabon. This is where the action is in Minneapolis. A cop busted him. He denies it, but the cop says that he was giving off gay signals in the men's room. Like when he threw a tablecloth over the baby changing station and lit candles and opened a bottle of Merlot. Those are our gay signals. No, I'm learning a lot about the gay lifestyle from this story, because apparently when you go into one of these men's rooms, tapping your foot, that's the signal for tapping your foot. No wonder the gays love musicals.
I've got a small problem with this. It's a problem I always have when funny boys try to give you the news. Because the problem wasn't that he was tapping his foot. I watched this Bill Maher show with Mrs. Barton. She said, yeah, what's the deal with that? And I said, well, the deal is he's giving you 100% false information. It wasn't that he was tapping his foot, da-da-da-da, like he would along with a song. This is all about geography. He's sitting there, and he reached into the other guy's stall space, and he tapped his foot with his own, well, his shoe with his own shoe. And that's a weird thing. I got to tell you, I grew up Catholic. In 1970, I was at, what was it called, St. Mary's High School in St. Louis. And one of the lay teachers, which just means he wasn't a priest or a what they called a brother, that's a near priest, he sat the whole class down one day and they started explaining sex to us. By then, we knew the ins and outs, so to speak, but he wanted to take things up a notch. And he was talking about, you know, when you start dating a girl, if you go to her house and you got to meet her parents, and if dad slips you a 20 or a 50 or something, just take it. He wants you to show his daughter a good time. That means he likes you, et cetera, et cetera. And he just talked about all kinds of things. And one of the things he talked about, he said, if you're ever sitting in a stall in a public restroom and the guy in the next stall reaches over and taps your foot, that means he's gay and he wants something. And every time I've been in a stall since 1970, I've thought about that. I mean, you can't kind of help but do it. Anytime you're in a public place and you drop your pants, you got to keep one eye on your back and the situation and the variables, et cetera, et cetera. And I've thought about that all this time. And then here it is, what, 37 years later, this pops up and they're like, oh, he tapped his foot. You know, if one of the dumbest things about it is had he not pled guilty, if he would have gone into court and said, hey, I tapped my foot on the damn ground. I was humming a song to myself and I tapped my foot on the ground. And he claims he saw my hand waving around. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. They would have found him not guilty. But because he was guilty and he wanted this to be hidden and over with, you know, the cop said, I won't call the press. I won't make a big deal out of this. So he went for it. But to get back to it, Bill Maher giving you bad information here. He's trying to make a joke. And I always hate it when someone who's trying to make a point makes a joke, because they'll make a point for like 2-3 minutes and then they'll close it with a joke. And you think, well, was everything you said a joke, or was it just a joke at the very end? But he was not tapping his foot. He reached over into the other guy's stall and touched his shoe with his own shoe. And that's apparently a lewd act, which, you know, the tapping of the foot is not itself a lewd act. But yeah, if someone else's shoe comes into my stall, I don't know what I'm going to, you know, get your damn foot out of here. So I don't know what it's never come up. But I wish today's comedians would give you the facts and then do the funny and put a little separation between the two. Because like I say, people sitting around thinking, oh, if you walk in a men's room and you tap your foot on the floor, it means you want gay sex, could be trouble. No, bad information, Bill.
Now, of course, the Republicans have completely turned on Larry Craig, as Jesus would. And they're all... So Senator Craig has now called a press conference for tomorrow. We don't know if what he's going to say, but probably he's going to resign. But he said that will be a private decision that he will make after consulting with his wife, his children, and an anonymous dude he met at the Howard Johnson's on I-84. But really, you cannot blame people for being repulsed by this kind of activity. Politicians are not supposed to approach strangers and ask them for sex. Now, that's what... Now, you've heard about this. Hillary Clinton, that campaign is in trouble because they had to give back this money they got from this guy who's now under arrest for some sort of Ponzi scheme he was running. Okay. Now, in Hillary's defense, Larry Craig blows guys at the airport. Hello? All right, enough about Larry Craig. In heterosexual news... The Government Accountability Office, this is the investigative arm of Congress, says that things are not improving in Iraq, despite what the administration says. They say Iraq has failed to meet 15 of the 18 benchmarks that they said they had to meet about progress in Iraq. To give you an idea of how pathetic it's going over there, Lindsay Lohan is doing better in rehab. Of course, I'm kidding about that. Now, the rumor about her now is that she was caught taking drugs and having sex in a toilet with a male patient. I didn't even know she was Republican. Now, you heard this story about the WWF? I guess that's the World Wrestling Federation. I'm a big fan. But apparently they have suspended 10 of their wrestlers for steroid use. And I say thank God, because, you know, when I'm watching a 300-pound commando in a camouflage thong pretend to break an Indian chief's neck with his thighs, I say to myself, I hope this is on the level. This would break my heart if it wasn't. Speaking of on the level, Alberto Gonzalez resigned this week. I think we should mention that. Our Attorney Generalissimo and President Bush said he is looking for a replacement. He's trying to find someone equally versed in the law. In fact, he's in front of Home Depot now picking out some guys. And finally, you hear about this, Leona Helmsley, who died last week. She left $12 million to her dog. Now, we do not know what the dog is planning to do with that money, but Michael Vick is fucked. That's all.
Welcome back to the National Heads Up Poker Championship. I'm here with legendary Doyle Brunson. Doyle, everybody's wondering why you're in the stands up here and you're not out there playing.
Well, Sean, to tell you the truth, I think for the first time in 50 years, I've kind of lost my passion for poker. This internet gaming bill that they piggybacked on the port security bill, it kind of soured me that something like that could happen.
What do you think about the future of poker?
That was Shauna Hyatt, who was hired because she looks good. She doesn't have a brain. If she had had a brain, she would have listened to what Doyle said, and she would have said, tell me more about that. Because Doyle's wanting to rag on the Republicans. They had this port security bill, and they thought, well, hey, let's screw the people who like to play cards. Let's screw the people who like to play poker, and we'll tack that onto the security bill. That way, if the Democrats vote against it, we can say, you're soft on terror. The sons of bitches, they don't have the balls to put up a bill by itself. But no, they see somebody having fun. This is the Republican template. If they see somebody having fun, they say, oh, we got to pass. Look over that guy over there is having fun. We got to pass a law to stop that. I see a smile on his face. We can't have any smiles. Smiles are bad. Fun is bad. Anything that you enjoy is wrong. So we're going to pass a law against these $5 or 50 cent poker games on the internet because somebody might have a problem with gambling. Well, hey, I know people that have a problem with cars. I know people have a problem with guns. I know people have a problem with knives or baseball bats. Should we outlaw everything that could possibly be abused by somebody? Doyle's considered the godfather of poker. And here he's a Democrat. He hates those sons of bitch and Republicans. And he's getting ready to just tear him a new one. And Sean Acosta, well, let's talk about something else. But yeah, you go to the godfather of poker, ask him what's on his mind. And in the minute he starts speaking, you cut him off. You idiot. You look great in a bikini, but you don't have a brain. And as a rule, people with microphones in their hands in front of a camera should have some kind of brain, unless it's the Playboy hour or something. You know, yeah, there's room for just stupidity and bikinis. There's lots of room for that. But when the legend of poker wants to talk about what sons of bitches the bastard Republicans are, let him talk.
What do you think about the future of poker?
Well, I think the future of poker is okay. I think it's still going to a lot of interest. I hope the poker shows get better. I think this is one of the shows that are much better. I think there's too many poker shows that aren't really quality.
I don't know how old this interview is. For some reason, they need to delay these poker games 6 months. I mean, I can understand maybe you don't want to broadcast it live in case, you know, Willie's got a microphone or a chip in his ear and his buddies watching on TV. He's got jacks, fold, you know, we can't have that. So I can understand it putting on a delay, but not months and months and months. But anyway, a lot of these bullshit poker games have gone to the side. The worst of these were the celebrity poker. I mean, I watched them a little bit just because it's poker and, you know, you kind of like to watch. But, you know, let's talk about my new movie. Let's get cute. You know, like one of the worst is Brad Garrett. Every time it comes to him, he's got to do a speech. He's got to do a monologue. He's got to tell us his story. No, asshole, play the game. That's the problem. Number one rule in poker, you play the game. I don't want to hear any life stories. I don't want to hear, you know, how many pets and kids he's got. I don't want to hear he used to be a dentist, and then he was a carpenter, and then he did roofs for a while. Who gives a fuck? Deal the damn cards. Let's keep this about poker. We don't want to hear about celebrities. Don't want to hear about the new TV show. Don't want to hear about how cute your hair is, what you're wearing, your perfume, your makeup. Don't want to hear about all that bullshit. I think that's what Doyle's talking about. If you talk about a poker game, I don't know how anybody who likes poker could have a problem with watching a poker game on TV, unless you got a bunch of clowns sitting around. This particular show he's at is the Heads Up Championship, where they get 30 or 40 of the best poker players in the world, or maybe the 40 best in the world, and they sit there and they go man-to-man. I mean, that's poker at its finest. It's real exciting when you get down to mano a mano, as Bush said when he was going to beat up his dad. But if it's one-on-one, it's a whole different game. So, yeah, this is a nice game. Any game with the professionals in it where they're concentrating on, you know, the idea of a charity poker tournament, blow me. I mean, we're all for charities. If you want, let's have a big tournament and you got to give 10% to charity, fine, let's do that. But the idea that I'm playing for charity, so I don't care if I win, so I'm going all in with nothing. Ha ha, I'm cute. Oh, God, I hate that. And I think Doyle does too. Also, if you remember, it's been many radio shows back, but once at the poker table, the subject of Hillary and Obama came up and Doyle said, Hillary's going to take it all. And as Fondiari said, no, Obama's going to get it. And someone else said, no, Obama's going to get it. And they said, all right, I'll go you $5,000, $10,000. I forget what the bet was, but he says, and that's what I love about poker. If you shoot your mouth off at a poker game, if you say, hey, no way, Obama's got it for sure. You go $10,000 on Hillary, and he says, okay, I got $10,000 on Obama. Now you got something going here. To sit there penniless and say, oh, this is going to happen for sure. Well, hey, if you don't have a penny in your pocket, your opinion is doesn't carry that much weight, but you slap $10,000 on the table and say Obama's going to win. Now I got to step back and take a second look. Hey, this guy sees something I don't see. Which reminds me, I hope I get this radio show up before the big crash, but a couple days ago on the old BarkCop.com, we mentioned this guy in England put $4.5 billion down on the coming crash. Now that means something. It doesn't mean it's going to happen for sure, but when I read that someone's got $4.5 billion down that the crash is coming, I might want to take a look around at my situation, maybe pay off some credit cards, maybe cancel the trip to Monte Carlo, cancel the new boat I ordered, you know, all those things. Because if the big crash is coming, and I'm not saying it is, but when the guy bets $4.5 billion that the crash is coming, you got to say, hey, he might know what he's talking about. You start throwing that kind of money around, someone might have to take you seriously. But anyway, in closing, the point is, Doyle says Hillary's going to win. Doyle's not somebody you want to gamble against. Trust me.
And I think it maybe so it might have caused a decline a little bit, but you know it'll get back on track because it's too good of a game not to.
We're sorry you're not playing. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Sean.
Sage words from one of the greatest poker statesmen ever, Doyle Brunson. Meanwhile, we go back.
Want to get to the audio tape now. We've been telling you that we have received a copy now of the audio tape of the arrest of Senator Larry Craig, Republican of Idaho, at that Minneapolis men's room. That was back in June. And as that arrest occurred, the arresting police officer recorded the exchange that began after he arrested Senator Craig, and we're going to play the audio tape that has just been released. And there it is. Jeff Toobin is our senior legal analyst. He's here in the Situation Room. You heard it. You heard him waive his Miranda rights at the beginning, saying he had the right to remain silent. He waived that. He said he's more than happy to talk about it. Give us your legal analysis of what we just heard.
Well, I think there's good news and bad news. The good news for Larry Craig is I don't think there's anything in this tape that makes his situation worse. The bad news is his situation is terminal anyway, so this really doesn't make any difference. I mean, what you have to do is read this or listen to this transcript and compare it to the arrest report by this sergeant, Sergeant Dave Karsnia, who talks about all the things he saw Larry Craig do. Linger outside the stall, try to make eye contact, make repeated gestures underneath the stall. So that's why you can see Karsnia getting so irritated, because his version of what went on is completely different from what Craig describes on this tape.
Because a lot of the arguments that Senator Craig makes in this audio exchange, he could have made if he decided to plead not guilty and gone to trial or whatever, gone to court to fight it. He could have made the case, but yet, for some reason, he decided that he was going to plead guilty.
Exactly. That's why this is essentially so irrelevant. Because this is actually a fairly good defense at trial, that the detective simply misinterpreted a gesture I made. This was all a big misunderstanding. And if we were at the stage where Craig had been charged and he was awaiting trial, we'd say, oh, okay, let's have a trial and see who the jury believes. But he's pled guilty. So this story is irrelevant.
Because some of the arguments he made could have been deemed, well, that sort of makes sense. There could have simply been just a big misunderstanding between those two stalls.
And the jury could have listened to the detective and listened to Craig and decided who was telling the truth. We're not going there, because he's already pled guilty. He said he's done it.
And Dana Bash is on the scene for us in Boise, Idaho. Dana, as you listened to this audio tape, you heard his explanation earlier in the week why he decided that he wasn't going to plead innocent, not guilty, why he decided to plead guilty. What do you think, listening to the audio tape?
If I am caught in a bathroom and taken into a police interrogation and the police officer says to me, you're going to have to pay a fine and that will be it. I don't call the media. I don't do any kind of that type of crap. If I heard that, maybe I would plead guilty. Jeffrey Toobin, if you're really scared that this is going to come out in your very conservative state, might you plead guilty to something like this if the officer told you if you paid a fine it would go away and he wouldn't go to the media?
Well, you know, that obviously does appear to be what Craig thought, and that's why he did what he did. The problem is, you know, what reasonable person, much less a United States senator, can plead guilty to a crime and think that it'll somehow never become public? And now his defense is meaningless because he pled guilty.
Hey, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby, don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe?
But there was news out of the Hawkeye State this weekend.
The Iowa straw poll, a quadrennial ritual for Republican candidates, was held Saturday in Ames, Iowa. And the big winner of this unofficial preseason survey of the Iowa electorate, former Massachusetts governor and part-time JCPenney catalog underwear model Mitt Romney, with over 30% of the vote. What does this all mean? Tell us, political analysts.
The first critical test in the race for the White House, the Iowa straw poll.
The Iowa straw poll is entirely irrational.
This is a serious political event.
Even political analysts admit the straw poll isn't very significant.
The first real test for candidates.
I think Ames meant zilch.
Thank you for clearing that up and confusing me. Attendance at the straw poll was at an all-time low, down 40% from 1999, including around 30% of the Republican candidates for president. But the winning and placing candidates had a ready explanation.
You know, it was a warm day, and actually, it was difficult turning people out.
It tells us more about how hot it was in Ames, Iowa. It's about 150 degrees, and I think that had a lot to do with it.
150 degrees, literally. Even worse, the straw poll was held in Iowa's famed Jiffy Pop Dome. That stadium smells great. In a big surprise, the second place finisher was Baptist minister and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee with 18% of the vote, despite spending less than a tenth of what Romney had. Huckabee himself seemed at a loss to explain his success.
It wasn't just that we surprised people with a second showing. It's that we did it with so few resources. I mean, this really was feeding the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves.
Apt metaphor, Governor. But I really have to say, don't you think Jesus would have won? You know, being Jesus. A guy feeds 5,000 with, you know, two fishes. People are going to be like, I'm voting for that guy. Plus he cured me gonorrhea. By the way, for those of you who still care, what exactly is the Iowa straw poll?
It's a very informal survey of opinion among those Republicans who choose to attend this. They have to pay a $35 ticket fee, although the campaigns tend to buy those tickets for people to come out in the hopes that they'll support them.
So it's an election with no Democrats in one of the whitest states in the Union, where rich candidates pay you $35 for your vote. Or as the Republicans call it, our vision for the future.
I know, let's talk to Eldrick for a second. Maybe he'll tell us how great he is.
You would ask me that, you know, 12 years into my career, would I have had this many wins and this many majors? There's no way. I've exceeded my own expectations, and certainly not against that.
Tiger and Woody Austin finished 1-2 in the PGA Championship. Austin had actually a better score than Tiger on two of the 4 days and tied him on another. It was Austin, not Woods, who finished at par or better each round. The difference? Tiger 63 on Friday. But despite finishing second to Tiger, quote, being intimidated by Tiger, end quote, not in Austin's vocabulary.
I think it's great that Ernie and I didn't let him just coast in. All you hear is how unbeatable he is, especially when he's leading. Well, you give anybody who's really good a four-shot lead over you. I beat him today, but it doesn't matter because he had four shots on me. We can go through our rounds. I outplayed him on Friday, but he beat me by seven shots. It just happens that he scored better.
Well, now, wait a minute. As you know, I'm no fan of Tiger Wu, but it's a little stupid to say, he's not better than me, he just scored a little bit better. Well, that's the thing, you know, when the ball falls in the cup, you can't deny. If you look in the cup and the ball is there and you count the strokes and he beat you, well, he beat you, and at least today he was better than you. As I said, I'm the last guy to tell you how great Tiger Woods is. If he got a lower score than you, don't tell us how you beat him.
And like I said on Friday, you cannot throw away that many opportunities when you are trying to win a big golf tournament. He took advantage, I didn't. Does that mean he played better than me or he's better than me? I don't agree with that.
Well, Elmer, or whatever your real name is, I'm not sure. I used Elmer because it's an off-the-beat name, and this guy, whoever, nobody had ever heard of this guy before. But seriously, don't explain to us how you're better than Tiger Woods. I don't want to hear that. If you kick his ass and you say, Tiger wasn't the greatest today, hey, fine. I'll stand up and cheer. I'll do you a shot of Chinago. But don't explain to me after he beat you how you're really better than him. And don't think I'm jumping on some Tiger bandwagon. No, no, no. I'm not softening my position a bit. But the facts are the facts. Maybe Elmer ought to keep that in the back of his mind.
Time for fun.
Thank you all very much for coming out today. I will read a statement. First, as many of you have already been told, I am gay. For 8 months leading up to June 11th, while I was not involved in serving this great state, I did the Minneapolis airport. I did my wife. I did my family. I did my friends, staff, and fellow Idahoans. And I hope Idahoans, as I have always appreciated your willingness to accommodate me, will allow me to continue to do that again. For a moment, I want to put my staff in the Idaho Statesman, and because of that, I have now retained counsel in hopes of making it go away. Let me be clear. I am gay. I have been gay. All around Idaho. Over the years, I have accomplished a lot for Idaho. And for that, I apologize. You know why. But I should have anyway. Because I am gay. There are still Idahoans I would like to accomplish. Next month, I will seek re-election. And I will deeply regret it. It is clear, though, I am gay. And for that, in hopes of making it, I seek and ask the people of Idaho to forgive me. This statement will go up on my website today at craig.senate.gov. Any additional comments kept to myself, go away.
Melissa Etheridge at a debate with Democratic candidates, co-sponsored by Logo, which is a gay theme network operated by MTV. She said that she had been very excited when Hillary's husband was elected president. Let's take a look.
What Howie the whore is failing to tell you, and it makes a lot of difference, she's putting this question to Hillary Clinton. She's wanting to get Hillary live on camera and chastise her for her husband's, well, I'll just let her tell you.
We were very, very hopeful. And in the years that followed, our hearts were broken. We were thrown under the bus. We were pushed aside. All those great promises that were made to us were broken.
I don't think that's true. And if it is true, write or call the BART phone and straighten me out.
Our hearts were broken. We were thrown under the bus. We were pushed aside.
I think a fair translation of that would be, we didn't get everything we wanted. I don't have Clinton's verbiage in front of me, but I doubt he went to them and said, I guarantee you, without a doubt, no matter what, you're going to have equal rights, etc., etc., and be in the military, etc., etc. I doubt if he said that. I don't think he's stupid enough to say, I guarantee it's going to rain 2 weeks from Friday at 2:00. I don't think he's that stupid. I think he went to them and said, I'm with you, I'm going to fight for you, etc., etc. And when he got up there, Sam Nunn, now who's barking about getting in the race, what an idiot, he said, over my dead body is this going to happen. And because this was the first thing Clinton promised, okay, so the very first thing that Clinton tried to do, his own party stabs him in the back and says, no fucking way are you going to get this. Does Melissa Etheridge really think Clinton should gamble the next 8 years of progress on that one promise he ended up compromising? The idea that we were thrown under a bus, I think that's just crazy talk. And I don't mind her being mad about it, and I don't mind her asking the question, but she can't seriously think that Clinton just went up there and stabbed her in the back. I think between what Clinton did for the gay people and what the gay people did for Clinton, I think there's little doubt who stabbed who in the back. And I'm not trying to attack my gay brothers and sisters out there. If you got a problem with this, if I got it wrong, write or call and straighten me out. I just don't see it that way. I can understand her seeing it that way, because apparently since seventh grade, she's been this outcast, and for 30 years, she's been fighting to get in the mainstream, whatever. Well, fine, but you can't ask the people in the mainstream to give up what they've got to please the minority, it's going to be hard to do that. We are working towards, oh, and speaking of, damn, I wish I could, if I had the resources, I heard this in the car, and you know, I don't have a recorder in my car, but someone asked Barack Obama, as a black man, how can you deny gay marriage? You know, you've been discriminated against. You're from a race who has been pissed on. How can you now turn around and pee on them? And he gave a worse answer, I think, than anything Bill Richardson ever given. And that's a lot. And I'm trying to put it together. But Obama said something like, well, first of all, he used about 60 or 80 words before he started talking. Well, in the course of events, you know, he started doing one of those. But bottom line, he said, I can't go there with you. Again, this is my words for Obama. But what he should have said, what a lot better answer would be, damn, I wish I could get hold of a transcript or the audio of it. But what he should have said was, it was a terrible struggle, an immensely long, hard, deadly, bloody struggle to get equality for blacks, which, and they're not there yet. But for some reason, as the decades went by, people gradually began to say, okay, okay, well, you don't have to hate them. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll give them the civil rights. Okay, okay. But when it comes to gay, not a chance. The difference is, what Obama should have told them is, we were able to sell the idea that blacks are equal to whites, but so far we've been unable to sell to the average Republican that gays are equal to straights. We've not yet been able to sell that. As time goes by, we will. I doubt there's a lot of 10 and 15 and 20-year-old bigots running around, people that just hate the gays. They just hate them to death. I don't think that's the case. Maybe in the South, maybe in Carolina, in Oklahoma, Mississippi, sure, you got a lot of that because these are uneducated monkeys. But the people with brains and the young people understand that this world is changing, the tide is changing. The better answer Obama should have given was, we've made the black sale, we are working on the gay sale, but we're not there yet. Don't ask us to give up control of the White House and Congress because you want that issue and you want it right now. Making progress is something that counts. There was a time, in my lifetime, you couldn't say you were gay. Now you can. And you still have a job, you know, if you're Larry Craig, you don't still have a job. But if you're a gay man in Hollywood, you know, Lance Bass type of thing, you can be a star and word get out that you're gay and you can still work. So it is changing. But to demand that it change right now, well, that's not going to happen. What world does Melissa Etheridge live in where you can demand change right now and get it? And just want to say it one more time. If you disagree with me on this, don't write and tell me what a gay basher I am, and I'm Cheney's clone, and I'm just like Rush. Boy, some people argue like stupid. But if I got this wrong, write to me, straighten me out. Just say, no, Bart, you're wrong, and here's why. A, B, C, and D. That's how you do it. You don't call and, you know, scream you're Rush Limbaugh's twin at me. That's what we call stupid.
Linda Douglas, my question is, with those kinds of personal, first-person, emotional queries, do we really need journalists at these debates? Aren't these questions sort of better than the kind of questions that reporters ask?
Well, now, setting Melissa Etheridge's question to the side for a second, to answer your question, Howie, it's hard to say, because as we saw a couple weeks ago, Stephanopoulos asked the stupidest questions possible, and then we saw the YouTube debate, which, you know, how are you going to weigh super stupid against super stupid and come up with some reasonable conclusion about which was more stupid? It's real hard to do. What we need to do is get some journalists with integrity to get up there and ask questions besides, what would you bring to the Oval Office? Well, yeah, I'm going to bring sunshine and little puppies. You know, that's so stupid. Nobody learned anything that day. Stephanopoulos was up there just masturbating in front of the camera because he could. He works for ABC and they needed somebody there. He's a pretty boy and the camera loves those pretty boys, so he got the job. But until the whore press comes to their senses or until the masses come up with a brain, yeah, it's going to be a lose-lose situation when it comes to these questions. The best way out of this, as I said 100 times, get 2 people in a room, pop a question up on a blackboard or something, or, you know, throw topics out. Say, war in Iraq. You don't have to ask a question. My dad's in Iraq. Nya, nya, nya. You don't really have to have that. You put up a question. Tell us about Iraq. Go. The two you fight. Next, we're talking about gay rights. Two you fight. Go. That's how you do a debate. But no, nobody wants to do that. They want to do this bullshit regurgitation of 20-year-old positions. Nobody gets anywhere. They don't want to do it right. That's the answer to the question, Howie.
The Republicans, on the other hand, have not been asked questions by voters, but they are being asked questions by hard-nosed journalists such as George Stephanopoulos.
Lady, you didn't just say that. Hard-nosed journalists like George Stephanopoulos, Judas Maximus is a hard-nosed journalist. Where the hell have you been? What country are you reporting in? What country were you born in? Do they have TVs and internet and radio in the country where you live? Hard-nosed journalist George Stephanopoulos? If you could be any tree, what would you be? That's George Stephanopoulos. What's wrong with you, lady?
Which cover the range of issues, and I actually think that we are seeing a more realistic display of Republican positions, caught off guard, not expecting the questions by a journalist, than we sometimes are at the Democratic debate. See.
Lady, you are just crazy. You didn't watch the debate with Stephanopoulos. You just didn't. And every time somebody tried to speak, they got cut off. That's not how you do a debate. You don't do a debate and say, now your turn. Oh, you had your 10 seconds. Now you shut up. That's not a debate.
I will swear to uphold the honor and the dignity of the office to which I have been elected, so help me God.
Congressman Tancredo, that was the core promise of President Bush's campaign, to restore honor and dignity to the Oval Office. What will you restore to the Oval Office?
If that's a hard-nosed reporter asking a tough question, I'm an Eskimo named Nanook. Well, there you had it. Big, big show. Barkup Radio 126 is in the can. Hope you liked it. Hope you liked parts of it. But it was a long time in coming. See what I did? I had a show put together like last week, and by the time I was able to speak, last week's show was no good, so I had to redo a show. Boy, I hate that. Maybe I should throw that into the pile of things that didn't work right. Put them in the worst to bark up at the end. So tell you what, I'm going to get to work on show 127. It'll have to be better than this one, right? But how about that? We're going into the last 17 months of the BFEE, maybe. As you know, I predicted he won't stay the entire 17 months. I have a prediction. How is he going to get paid by Kuwait without his army? If he leaves, says goodbye, turns the White House over to Hillary, goes to his little compound in Paraguay and tells Kuwait, okay, now send me those billions. They say, what billions? Now he's got a problem. So I think what he's going to do, like he's got a month left on his tour, maybe a little bit after Christmas, he'll call Kuwait and say, send that to Paraguay this weekend. He'll say, going out to Paraguay for a little trip. Be right back. Going to get to Paraguay. Going to have that money come in. He's going to send back word. Never mind. It's yours, Hillary. Move in early. But that won't happen until it happens. Meanwhile, I'll get to work on show number 127. Like to thank the listeners. Like to thank the subscribers. Like to thank, you know, actually our little thermometer on there has generated some income. I'm surprised. But our little thermometer on the page there, it's now over $1,000 we've collected. We'd like to get up to six. If I get six in my pocket, wouldn't have to ask you for anything else till next year. That would be nice. And if 2008 turns out to be a big-time political year, might not have to ask you for anything until 2009. Wouldn't that be nice? So if you would, help me get over the $6,000 hump, and I'll quit begging for a year and a half. Sure. So this is Bart Cop. I'm in Tulsa. It's only 95, so it's cooling off. Maybe next show I'll be healthy, give you a better show. This is Bart, and I'm gone.
We have a president who's a terrorist, using fear to manipulate the population. I'll tell you exactly what's going on. It's just like, wow. 28 after.
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of.
Check out
ProudLiberals.com for debate, humor, and news. That's ProudLiberals.com.
Click on
FunnyFarmOnline.org. If you want to stay sane while Bush is president, visit the Funny Farm at FunnyFarmOnline.org.
Visit
JPSalesTraining.com. When we take our country back, you'll need training programs for your new employees. Go to JPSalesTraining.com now for progressive, interactive, and great training resources.
Check out
AmazingPlanet.com, banned by eBay for hitting too close to the truth. Get your t-shirts from AmazingPlanet.com.
Click on
DoYouKnow.org for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about that bad boy, George W. Bush. DoYouKnow.org. And visit MarkCop.com for the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See BartCop.com for more information. That's BartCop.com.
Do it now.